You're listening to Song Exploder, where musicians take apart their songs and piece by piece tell the story of how they were made. I'm Hrishikesh Hirway. This episode is brought to you by Progressive, home of the Name Your Price tool. You say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. It's easy to start a quote. Visit progressive.com to get started. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent, match with them, thanks to Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And Song Exploder listeners will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Song Exploder. Terms and conditions apply. REM was formed in Athens, Georgia in 1980 by singer Michael Stipe, bassist Mike Mills, guitarist Peter Buck, and drummer Bill Berry. They've won 3 Grammys and have sold over 85 million records. In 1992, the band released their 8th album, Automatic for the People. And in honor of the 25th anniversary of its release, in this episode, Michael Stipe and Mike Mills take apart the song, Try Not to Breathe.
I will try not to breathe. This decision is mine. I have lived a full life. These are the eyes that I want you to remember.
I'm Michael Stipe. Having worked together for, at this point, 11 years as a band, the guys were trying really hard to throw roadblocks in front of themselves to not write on the same instruments.
This is Mike Mills. The genesis of this song was Peter's desire to experiment with different stringed instruments. He was working a lot with anything he could get his hands on that wasn't an electric guitar. And this started on the dulcimer. The dulcimer was something Peter was really enjoying playing at that point, and we liked the gothic southern quality of that sound. And then he adds some steel string acoustic guitar. That's where you get that beautiful quasi-Western sound.
What you've got there is two of Peter's favorite musical types. You have surf, and you have a spaghetti western, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You change the instrument, you change the reverb on it a little bit, and you wind up with something that sounds like neither of those things.
I generally played most of the keyboards on REM stuff. The organ part there was deliberately like a call and answer. There's movement in the right hand to begin, and then the left hand answers. And so they're almost talking to each other.
That sounds like one of those thoughtful, sad kind of church songs. It's what Mike and I came from. Mike's father, Frank, was an opera singer who sang in church, and I came from a long line of Methodist preachers. We have that kind of Protestant, you know, the sad beauty of Jesus is kind of a part of our upbringing. Over the course of our 31 years as a band, the creative process was those guys would give me music and I would then find a melody and then a lyric that went along with the music that they'd given me.
It's just the three of us working to write a song. But sometimes Michael was in the room, and when he was, very often things that the band might have glossed over and said, well, that's not really much of anything, Michael would say, hold on, I like that, keep working on that. Most of our demo work was done in Athens. We have a rehearsal studio, and we would write the songs there and get them all pretty much fleshed out enough to show Michael what the song was and enough to give him a foundation for coming up with words and melody.
Here's the original demo for Try Not to Breathe.
I see music more than hear it. A great instrumental track is an extremely cinematic journey for me. The song to me felt like it had this kind of heaving motion of a boat rocking on the ocean. Also, it could feel very much like someone breathing or trying to stop breathing.
I will try not to breathe. I can hold my head still with my hands and my knees.
eyes of the old, shivering toe.
I can tell you what the song is about, and I've never really said it, but my grandmother was at the end of her life, my father's mother, Grandma Sipe, her name was Laura, and she was 87. She had lived a long life and not an easy one, but she was very, very, very dear to me. And one of the things that I inherited from her is this shivering thing that happens, this kind of shiver that normal people would get when they get cold or when they think of something really scary. She would get on a daily basis, and so did I. And I don't get them as much as I used to, but that was a big part of my growing up and acknowledging and recognizing that I had gotten that very directly from my grandmother.
Baby, don't shiver now. Why do you shiver now? I need something to fly over my grave again.
After Michael would sing a song, very often things would change in a major way. The percussion was often determined by what we heard or didn't hear happening after Michael sang. The percussion part on this is some sort of shaker, and then there's a triangle being played. I like to say this about Bill. He was one of the most orchestral drummers in rock and roll. He didn't just get in there and bash out a drum thing. He would listen and write a drum part for the song. It's not a pattern, you know. He would play very musical drum parts.
I want you to remember.
We are a melodic band, but we love noise. We love feedback. We like to use feedback because it's so chaotic and unpredictable, and it's ballsy, it's angry. And so it was a really good counter to the pretty in our songs to have this sort of grindy, chaotic noise.
And Peter would always insist that there has to be a vocal on every part of the song, like the vocalist should just never go away. So for the bridge, he would put down some guitar track for me to sing on top of, and I would have nothing to sing. I've said everything I need to say in the lyric. I don't want to say anything else, so what do? I'll just moan over the top of it. So you get a lot of bridges where I'm just kind of moaning along with whatever Peter put down as a guitar. We're talking about a song about the end of someone's life, and they're suggesting to their family, I want to do this my way. I want to make it easier on you. It might be harder on me, or it might be easier on me. I don't know, but let's go for it. It's a very, very emotionally difficult moment, and I wanted the voice to portray that. So the way my voice cracks when I hit the word hold, absolutely intentional to leave that in.
I will try not to breathe. I can hold my head still with my hands and my knees.
The way the voice quivers at the end of the line.
These eyes are the eyes of the old.
I want to have an emotional experience. That's what I go to music for, and that's what I wanted to offer people.
I will try not to breathe. This decision is mine. I have lived a full life, and these are the eyes that I want you to remember.
Something to fly, something to breathe. Those backing vocals that I sing are actually one of my favorite moments from the entire REM recording career.
Something to breathe.
I knew that that song needed a background part there or some sort of vocal melody. And so I told everybody else to go away because it might take a while. And I went out and tried to record some ideas. And I just did all these things, a bunch of things. And nothing was really working. Nothing was great. And then all of a sudden I hit that melody with those words.
I need something to fly.
Something to fly.
And Scott and I.
That's Scott Litt, who produced the album.
We made eye contact. We both knew right away that was exactly what we were looking for.
I need something to breathe.
Something to breathe.
I have seen things you will never see.
And that is Bill Berry, one of the great unsung backing vocalists of all time.
What was behind the decision to make his vocals sound like that?
That was me. I went, Scott, let's make this sound like an old radio voice from the 1940s, like Video Killed the Radio Star kind of vocal. I always loved that. And so for background vocals, if there was an opportunity or a chance to throw something like that in, I would ask for that. It sounds to me like the Greek chorus, you know, it sounds like a kind of a voice of God that's overlooking from above.
I have seen things you will never see.
I have seen things that you will never see. I pulled that line from the original Blade Runner.
I've seen things you people wouldn't believe.
I brought the climactic death scene of the android Roy Batty into my grandmother's voice to create this beautiful kind of narrative.
Time to die.
The record became a lot about death and passage and transition. I mean, looking at where America was and where the world was in 1991 and 1992 when we were working on this, the whole world was in great transition. The Berlin Wall had just come down. The Soviet Union was basically dissolved. In America, we were at the end of the Reagan and Bush senior years, and I had watched intimately an entire community decimated by AIDS and the AIDS epidemic. I had grandparents who were at the end of their lives. And for us, you know, we were in our early 30s. We had made it through our 20s, which I never expected to have happen. I thought that I was going to die before I made it to 30. And so here I was kind of looking at that from the other side. That was reflected in the themes that dominated the making of Automatic for the People. But it's not just death, and it's not all darkness. There's lightness and humor and levity in there, hopefully, and transition. A door closes, another one opens.
And now, here's Try Not to Breathe by REM in its entirety.
I will try not to breathe. I can hold my head still with my hands at my knees. These eyes are the eyes of the old. Shivering and bold, I will try not to breathe. This decision is mine. I have lived a full life. These are the eyes that I want you to remember. Oh, I need something to fly. I need something to breathe. I will try not to burn. I can hold these inside. I will hold my breath until all these shivers subside. Just look in my eyes. I will try not to worry you. I have seen things that you will never see. Leave it to memory, me. I shudder to breathe. I want you to remember. I need something to fly. Memory me. Don't dare me to breathe.
To learn more, visit songexploder.net/REM. You'll find a link on the site to buy the 25th anniversary edition of Automatic for the People. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest. Song Exploder is produced by me, along with Christian Kunz, with help from intern Olivia Wood. Carlos Lerma creates original illustrations for each episode of the podcast. You can see those on the Song Exploder website. Special thanks this episode to Zach McNeese for engineering the REM interview. Song Exploder is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a curated network of fiercely independent podcasts made possible by listeners like you. Learn more about all the shows at radiotopia.fm. If you want to share your thoughts on this episode or on the podcast in general, you can find Song Exploder on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Song Exploder. This is the 125th episode of Song Exploder. It's the end of the fourth year of the podcast. Thanks so much to those of you who've been listening since the beginning. And thanks to all the artists who are guests this year for trusting me with their stories and their music. My name is Hrishikesh Hirway. Until next year, thanks for listening.
Radiotopia.
If you're looking for another podcast to listen to, check out Normal Gossip from Radiotopia. They're coming back for their sixth season. If you don't already know the show, they were named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, and their new season starts April 17th. Normal Gossip is really fun. It's a show about petty and ridiculous and strange stories and the way that we share those stories. The stories that they tell in the podcast are sent in by listeners, and then they're anonymized and then retold to a guest. And then they have to weigh in on the decisions that the people in the story are making. It's very funny and very beloved. So if you aren't already listening, check out the new season, which starts April 17th. You can listen to Normal Gossip wherever you get your podcasts.